Josh was going to school, construction, and he was starting off with roofing, I was not happy. I told God he doesn't need to go to roofing school. He doesn't like working on roofs. I know, I put him on a roof once. He did not like it. So I told God, I said, he doesn't need roofing. He needs electrical and plumbing. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't have the full story. I don't know what screwed up, but everybody was like, oh, no, this ain't working. But something turned around. Now he's not going to roofing. They changed it to electrical. Amen. When it looks like it's falling apart, it's not falling apart. It's falling together. You got to remember that. You got to remember, it may not look right to you. It may not feel right to you. Listen, if God's going to turn something around, don't you think there's going to be some pain involved? Don't you think there's going to be some anxiety involved, some fear involved? Calm down. Just calm down and watch what God can do. He'll turn it around for you. Not just the miracles, but it's the way they're happening. It's the way they're happening. And you might not like the season that you're in. And maybe you had to humble yourself. But God's doing something. You just got to let him do it. When God healed people, when Jesus healed people, he could have said, you're healed. But no, he said, go get in the dirty river. Oh, once, twice. No, do it seven times. The dirtiest river known to man. Go dip yourself in there seven times. Healed another guy. Put spit and mud in his eye. When God's turning something around, it ain't going to be the way you want it. It'll be the way he wants it. We need to let it be. Just let it be. We're talking about a time to tear. And in this time to tear, we're talking about false identity. Now, who are you? Who am I? The problem with Christians, the problem with Christianity, is we don't know what to accept and what not to accept. The world has spent a lifetime identifying you. You're identified as a white man. You're identified as a black man. You're identified as rich. You're identified as poor. You're identified as smart. You're identified as stupid. How do you want to be identified? You might identify me as rich, but I'm not rich for the reason you think I am. I'm rich because I have a relationship with Christ. That's what makes me rich. You're identified by the car you drive. You're identified by the house you live in. You're identified by the language you speak. And each and every one of those identities don't amount to anything. What matters is how you identify yourself in Christ. I want to be identified as a man of God. Now, I don't care if you identify me that way. I care if God identifies me that way. I was sitting at dinner one night at some event that I went to, and there was a guy at our table who didn't say a word the entire night. And I've told some of you this story already. And he didn't say a word the entire night until we left, and he caught me out on the sidewalk. And he said, you know, there's something different about you, and I've been asking God all night long what it is about you that's different than everybody else. And God told him this, and he was a prophet, and I didn't know it. but he identified himself as a prophet. And God told him this: he wants to know me. I identify as a person that wants to know about God. I can't know about God if I don't come to church. I can't know about God if I don't listen to what he tells me. I can't know about God if I never open my Bible. I want God to identify me as a disciple, a follower, a believer, a man who's trying to do the right thing, even though he doesn't always do the right thing. What did God say about David? He's a man after my heart. Did he always do the right thing? He seldom did the right thing. But God didn't identify him by what he did. He identified him by his heart. Is your heart for God? Because God will identify you, and he will look at you and say, that's a child after my heart. We have to tear away the false identity that we believe we are. I'm going to tell you right now, if there's something you think you can't do, God says, I can do, you could do all things through Christ who strengthens you. All things through Christ who strengthens you. I want to be identified as somebody who trusts that God's got my back. And knowing it's not always going to be an easy walk. It's not always going to be an easy ride. It's not always going to be a good time. And I'm going to go through some stuff just like y'all go through some stuff. None of us are exempt from that. But I want to be identified as somebody who goes through some stuff and never loses their focus on Christ. Because that's when it's so easy. The best time to dig in is in your worst time. The best time to dig in is in your best time. Just keep digging in. God, I don't understand. If you've never said that to God, there's something wrong with you. You need to tell God sometimes there's something going on in your life, and you just need to say, God, I just don't understand. I don't understand why I have to experience this. I don't understand why I have to go through this, but I do know this, God. You want me to. There's something, God, not right in me that you want to fix. There's something, God, that you're using me for to help somebody else. That's the identity I want. Stop letting people identify you. I don't even want to be defined by Baptist or Methodist or Protestant or Catholic or the 100 other names you can be. That's why we're a non-denominational church. I just want to be a Christian. And I want to be the best Christian I can be, and it takes a lot of work. Stepped on a pipe yesterday and broke it. Twice, yes, twice. I wasn't going to tell him twice. Who said that? The second time I broke the pipe, I might have said something I shouldn't have said. It was just a little word. But I'm still at work. Haven't arrived. Neither of you. It's one thing to break a water pipe once, but it's something else to break it twice. Now, on my behalf, Rob did make a big hole in the ground that I stepped in. But I refuse to be defined by who I am now, because I choose to define myself of who I'm going to be. And I know where God's taken me. And I know where God's taken you people. I know that He's got something for you. And He's taking you as you'll dig in. If you'll stay faithful. If you'll follow the course. If you'll go on the journey of faith. God will take you somewhere. Struggle comes by acceptance. And when you go to God with your struggle, you're saying to God, I do not accept this struggle. I'm coming to you, God, because I don't accept what I'm going through. I don't accept this health issue. I don't accept all these things going on. I don't accept. So I'm digging in with you. I'm partnering with you. Tag team. I'm exhausted. You take over. If you ever watch wrestling, tag team matches, sometimes that tag guy will go to his partner to tag him in, and his partner will look the other way so he doesn't get tagged in. That's not God. God's that wrestler that you see on the ring, and the other guy doesn't want to tag him in. He doesn't want to quit wrestling. He doesn't want to tag the other guy in. But the guy's like, tag me. That's God. God's trying to tell you, tag me, bring me in. I'll fight this for you. But we're so caught up in a false identity that we run into brick walls. I don't like Alcoholics Anonymous. Why? They do a lot of good. They help a lot of people. But they get up and say, I am an alcoholic. They might not have had a drink in 10 years, but they still get up and say, I am an alcoholic. No, you're not an alcoholic. Don't you accept that false identity. I get up and say, hey, I am free in the name of Jesus from all addictions. Why am I going to hold on to a false identity that holds me down? I know you've got a past. We all got a past. Some are worse than others. Still don't matter, because God wants to do the same for all of us. He wants to say, I came to set the captives free. What that means is I came to give you a new identity. I'm going to rebrand you. I know you were a thief. But you're not a thief no more. Don't call yourself a thief. I know you're an addict. You're not an addict anymore. Don't call yourself an addict. People walk around thinking they're losers. You're not a loser. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And if you'll just follow me. What does he say? Take my yoke and it will be easy. Dig into me and things are going to get easier for you. And that's the truth. Take my yoke and it will be easy. What does that mean? Don't take it. And eat the whooping you're going to get. Your choice. I said that nicely. Okay. All right. I'm going to let Linda begin.
Okay. I saved one of the praise reports from Working Faith Ministries for the last because I'm challenging you to do something about it. When I put out the prayer request for my son-in-law, I put it out several days early. And Pastor Donna texted me and she said, are you sure you want me to send it out now or do you want me to send it out on Monday? Or, you know, send it to me Monday and we'll do it for Tuesday. And my response to her was, oh, absolutely not. I want it now because I want the atmosphere of healing to be changed. I want the atmosphere to be healing when he walks into the hospital, not as he's coming out of the hospital. Okay? So Kim is fixing to end her journey. Her surgery is set for 8/18. She's going to end her journey. So I'm challenging every single one of y'all from now until 8/18 to be praying for her healing. So when she walks in that hospital, she's already walking out healed. That's a challenge. That was one of the miracles of Working Faith Ministry. She's been a long time coming, and she finally got it.
Understand this. She hasn't used her arm in a year and a half.
Correct.
Understand she's in excruciating pain. Understand she's in discomfort, and it's all going to be over when God operates on her on the 18th.
Physical therapy is going to be like bam, 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 done. So be praying for her from now, and don't stop on the 18th. Keep praying. But let me tell you something. He was talking about false identity. Let me explain something to you, the difference between false identity and mistaken identity. Mistaken identity is on you, my friend. That's your choice. That's what you think of me. False identity, that's my problem. That's on me. So when y'all think somebody's something, you better be careful, because it's going to come back on you. False identity is your problem. Mistaken identity is their problem. I'm going to talk to you about... There's a clip that I'm going to show. If you want to go ahead and shut that light there. This clip is about a mistaken identity. Why do I say it's a mistaken identity? Because the world thought this young singer was done. They thought he was done and out. He wrote two songs that are now at the top of the charts. But listen to his testimony.
Here we go. Guys. Do you want to tell him?
What do you mean?
I'll tell them. Guys, so I broke my back exactly 2 weeks ago. Is today day 14? Got an x-ray and a CAT scan. It showed that I had multiple fractures. Could not move an inch without excruciating pain. I wake up today, forget to put on my back brace, just start doing the morning. I pick Bodhi up, and then I realize, wait, I'm not wearing my brace. What is going on? I'm wearing my brace right now for precaution. Order an urgent x-ray, go get the x-ray. I have complete healing in my back. I have no fractures in my back. No sign of a fracture in my back. So, praise God. We saw a miracle.
Mwah. Now, I will tell you why I showed him last. Because if I would have showed him first, the first thing in your mind would have been, oh, he's a star and, you know, things happen to them and that's just not real. But it is real. It is very real. Everything I said happened in this church just since Journey of Faith. Everything I said happened just since Journey of Faith. Now, you can have a quick season like him, 2 weeks. 2 weeks tops, he has no broken back. Do you understand that? No broken back at all? At all. That's almost impossible.
Identify him.
That is Forrest Frank. And the two songs that went to the top of the charts was Lemonade, and he talks about Life Handed Me Lemons and Jesus Made Lemonade. Very cute song. Go listen to it. And the other one was God's Got My Back. He was laying on his back in a bed, unable to move when he wrote these two songs. Now, you can have a season like him, or you can have a season like this.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall.
But no. I thought by now they'd fall. But you've never failed me yet, waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won. Are you still walking around in that season thinking those walls are going to fall? Because if you're still walking around in that season thinking those walls are going to fall, you ain't searching for God very well. Because I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to get through the season. Now that I know that my season ends when I find him in the midst of the season, I'm notorious for saying new level, new devil, find the devil, conquer the level. New season, find Jesus, go through it. Okay?
We had a broken back. Her son-in-law broke his back. The pictures showed the broken back. The helicopter came to get him from the hospital to take him to a hospital that's equipped to deal with a broken back. The surgeons were standing there waiting for him.
Operating room and everything.
But his wife didn't rush to the hospital to be with him. She rushed to the doors of the front of this church and walked into this church so we could pray for him before she went. Yep. You can't even make this stuff up. And when he got there, they wanted to take their own x-rays. There was no broken back by the time he had his little helicopter ride. Now, they don't put you in a helicopter for no reason. They don't put surgeons on standby for no reason. They were expecting to do surgery. The faith of his wife. The power of God's people. What? I may go off on a little tangent.
Okay, can I say something about that broken back real quick?
Yeah.
You have to understand, the wife didn't come here and just immediately run away like 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes, and on the journey. She had to drive from down south to here, stayed here until he got here from down there. He had to get here. She wasn't leaving this place until he got here and prayed for her. And then we drove normal speed because I know my God.
We want to be Christians, yes? Is anybody here that doesn't want to be a Christian? I'm talking to the Christians then, yes? We have so much available to us. It's like going to the grocery store. There is so much available, and you pick out 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 things. And you leave all the rest there. For some of us, that's a good idea. There's so much available to you in God, in Christ. And you come to this church and you stay quiet. And I've seen so many miracles here that it would take this week and next week to tell them to you. Many of you have seen them. So you know the power of God. You know that he's powerful. You've been taught that he's powerful. I can't understand why you're so shy when it comes to digging into God. If there's something wrong, you should make it known and get some people that are anointed to pray over you and believe for you and believe with you that God is going to make a move and God is going to do something. Instead of, I get these type of phone calls. Yeah, I didn't come to church last week because I was sick, but I'm better now. If I'm sick and not contagious, this is where I want to be. If I'm in pain, this is where I want to be. If I'm not feeling well emotionally, this is where I want to be. This is where the healing is. Not that you can't get healed anywhere else, but there's a concentration of anointing here right now. There's people in here that believe God can heal you. I was talking to somebody in the last week or so, and we were reminiscing about my service in Fort Lauderdale, which some of you know about. It wasn't an hour, wasn't an hour and a half. If I was lucky, it was 5 hours. That was a short night. 8 hours, 7 hours, about normal. Why? Because there was a hunger. There was a hunger for God. And we put out the altar workers. We got a new altar worker or two, I hope. In my service, nobody left until they were prayed for. And it was bigger than this one. Add about 20 more to what you have here tonight, that's how big it was. And nobody left. Listen, they were so hungry for God, not only did nobody leave till everybody was prayed for, and this happened every week, year after year. I'm not talking about a fluke. I'm talking about a hunger for God. That not only would nobody leave until they were prayed for, nobody else left until everybody was prayed for. They wanted to be into the prayer as much as they wanted to be prayed for. And I'm not even exaggerating at all. There was a hunger. Pray for God to restore your hunger. Restore my hunger, God. I need to hunger for you. I need to dig in deeper. I need to pull closer. I need to get what it is you got. I'm just going to tell you like it is. You do with it what you want. But if I was going to school, I'd be up at the altar every week. Can you just get an agreement with me that God's going to let me remember everything I'm taught? Can you get an agreement with you that I'm going to have the skill set needed to accomplish what it is they're teaching me? Or are you just going to take it for granted? I'm going to start a new job. I'm going to be at the altar. God, equip me to do the job that you gave me. Or are you just going to take it for granted? This altar is no joke. You see, there's been some successes. But I got news for you. The devil's not happy. You done messed up with the devil. You done got his attention. Y'all got all these successes going on. And the devil is mad. And he is at work right now. Right now to take it away from you. He's right now trying to take it. We just had a lady that was scheduled to move into the blue house. And she called and said she can't move in because she's afraid of the bears. Now, I don't know what Rob and Eugenia did to her. They didn't even meet her. Oh, that wasn't the bears they were talking about? Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about the real bears. God took, the devil took away from her. He gave her fear. And she didn't have enough sense to go to an altar and get prayed to get that fear removed. And fear cost her the thing she wanted the most. Because when the devil heard she was coming here, she had already filled out all the paperwork and everything. And it was going to be substantially less money than what she paid now. And where she's at is turmoil, anxiety, and drama, and she wanted the peace. And the devil took it from her. He took it. He took it. Go ahead. Hand, you put it out there in your hand. Watch him take it. Or you could come to the altar and solidify your position with God. God, I got a test to take. I need some help. See, pride comes before the fall, and it costs you everything. It'll cost you everything. Because the devil will take it because he works through pride. That's his highway. They're too prideful to come up to the altar. I can work with this. You're at church. Do what church people do. Because quite frankly, I'm tired of watching struggle. I shared my heart with you last Sunday. I want to see success. So I have to tell you how to get it if I expect to see it. I have to tell you, you've got to dig in a little more. You need to be at this altar every week praying for Kim until she's completely healed. You need to dig in. I could point to every one of you and tell you what you need to be up here for. I built this stage with the steps so people would have a place to kneel. The carpet doesn't look very worn. Those words to those songs that we sing are true. They're all true. I know you have desires. And I don't really mean to pick on anybody tonight, but how are we going to learn? I'm sorry, I don't want to embarrass you. I love you. I want the best for you. But how long you been looking for a job, and how many times have you been to the altar? Any kind of correlation? Took me a year to get a job. You've never been to the altar. If I wanted a job, I'd be at the altar every week till I got one. Until God got so tired, sick and tired of hearing me ask for a job that he would give me a job just to shut me up. Dig in. Stop worrying about what people think. That's the identity you accept. Stop thinking about what God, start thinking about what God thinks. And God doesn't want you to come to church. He wants you to be the church. Coming here is great, but you're going to find it's going to leave you short if you don't dig in to what God has available for you. We saw God move in Fort Lauderdale in ways you can't imagine. Because the people had such a hunger for God. We saw people healed, people come to know Christ. It was spectacular. He'll do the same thing here if you'll let him. And people get mad because I pushed them. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do it. Am I going to say this? Yes, I am. If your husband's too stupid to come to the altar to get prayed for a job, you come up and pray for him. At least that's something. Your son's going to school and he's too stupid to come to the altar to pray for success at school, you come pray for him. At least that's something. It's not the best it could be, but it's something. And guess what? This is what I want to see. This is what I want. I want to see somebody at this altar praying for Kim. Not just her mom. Somebody. Somebody care enough about the pain she's in. Somebody care enough about the struggle she's in that you're tired, sick, and tired of watching her every week come in here with a cast, get up to this altar, and pray for her. Or are you too prideful? What will they think of me if I come to the altar? You ride on the success that we're having. You dig in deeper. You don't let off. Do you think a race car driver lets off on the speed when he sees the finish line? No, he presses down harder. Can you press down a little harder for me? Can you dig a little deeper? Linda's right. There's a change in the atmosphere. That's when you capitalize. You wait for that atmosphere change. I'm going to tell you.
we've seen some droughts. I've seen some droughts. Nothing's going right for anybody. Nothing's going right for anybody. And I tell you all the time, and I'm going to end here in a minute. Sorry. The best way to get something off of you is to never let it get on you in the first place. So if you're at work and you see people getting laid off, if you're at work and you see people getting laid off, why don't I see you at the altar protecting your job? I'm just trying to tell you something. There's more. There's more. Want some? Come get some. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you, God, for the empowerment of this place, for your spirit is with us, God, for the atmosphere is charged, for things are happening, people are having success, people's lives are changing, and good things are happening, God. Forgive us, Lord, where we haven't dug in, we haven't been the aggressive Christian that we were supposed to be. Change our hearts. Give us strength, power. And the ability, God, to come get what you got for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.